Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and the effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, overcome obstacles, and find positive outcomes. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey, friends. Gosh, today is a really funny day to be talking about something like this, but I really want to talk about, when do you speak to someone about their cognitive impairment or their memory loss? In the early stages and in the mild cognitive impairment stages, it isn't really apparent usually when someone is struggling. So when they are struggling and you're starting to notice, generally families will talk to each other. They'll say, oh, so-and-so missed that appointment, or, oh, so-and-so is doing this or that. And you kind of just whisper around them. I'm not really fond of that. And so I just want to really have a straight talk conversation today and say, gosh, if it were you, if it were me, would I want someone to tell me if they are concerned about my memory loss, about my lack of understanding, about confusion on any subject? When do you strike up that conversation? It's a serious question, very serious question. Many of you out there worldwide have asked yourself the same question. When do I talk to my loved one? Well, you know, here's the thing. If you don't talk to them, are you doing them a disservice? If you do talk to them, are you putting a deficiency stamp on them? I don't want it to be that way. I don't want anybody to think that way, okay? So here's why I'm bringing this up. So like you notice maybe for, a few years, 5 years, whatever, the general rule of thumb is that it takes about 20 years of somebody having this disease before you actually show any signs, even to themselves. That's where we get the mild cognitive impairment. Okay. Now, when they start having these little errors, little things creeping in, spending money they shouldn't, or extravagant things, or, being late getting home for dinner, or making poor decisions, putting the dog's collar on wrong, or not hooking the leash, or whatever it is, those little things that are kind of making people wonder, when do you speak up? Well, I have personally made the decision that I think that it's better to just talk to the person straight out. Just talk to them about it and say, listen, I'm worried for you. You know, I don't want to be too concerned. I don't want to take over your life. I don't want to be in control of your world, okay? But what I want to do is be here to support you, and I want to make sure that if you make any decisions that are questionable, that I'm here to help you. I'm here to support you. So in that thought process, if you don't give that information to that person, they go on down the road, and at some point you have trouble helping them with their bank account. You have trouble helping them with appointments. I hear people every day. I get calls from families every day. I teach classes and I hear this information that they're not cooperating, and the communication is having serious gaps between the person who's caring for them and the person who has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or some type of dementia, Parkinson's or whatever, because they didn't talk about it in the beginning. And that's why I'm having this conversation today. Isn't it better to say to somebody, look, I love you. The mistake you made is okay. I'm going to help you through it. We're going to talk about this. maybe even gently pointing out that a decision they made on a huge purchase might have some questions that we could still ask. You know, how much did the thing cost? How much is it going to cost you monthly? Do you have enough money in your bank account to pay for it? If it's something that's out of state or out of the country, what's the shipping cost? Do you have to pay it up front or do you need to finance it? If you're financing it, do you have enough money in your bank account to pay for it? I just feel like when you help a person in that way and you say, does this make sense to you? And they say, yeah. And you're like, well, you know, really, it's missing point A, point B, point C, D, E, and F. And we need to satisfy all those things before we can make a decision. Let's just take a step back. Take a step back and relax, and let's not make a rash decision. Because if you can do that, hopefully your person with the diagnosis is going to feel much more supported. And you can say, listen, I'm here to help you. I'm not judging you. I'm not trying to take over your life. You can live on your own. You can still drive a car. You can do things. I just want to be here to support you. If you don't have that conversation, then you end up in this great big cloud of suspicion. The person that has the diagnosis starts thinking that everybody's talking about them, which they probably are. Then they also think that everybody's kind of judging them and everything else. Let them be part of the process. Let them be part of the decision-making process, and you just be the support. You say, hey, this doesn't sound right. We need to investigate A, B, C, D, E, and F before we make a decision. I love you. Let's make this decision together. Let's just take our time. Let's think it over. Because you know what happens? Their brain, as it is being affected by the beta amyloid or the tau that causes Alzheimer's or the secondary Alzheimer's, starts taking over. And the decision-making processes that are in the frontal lobe start not allowing them to make good judgment and reasoning decisions. And also, it controls your impulse control system. And if it's not working, if it's impaired, you just want to make quick snap decisions that can get you into a lot of trouble. And it's not necessarily that people are trying to scam you. They don't know that you're not thinking quite as clearly as you used to. And that's okay. Can't we just say it that way? Can we just say it that way? Why does it have to be a problem? Why does it have to be under a cloak of secrecy? I'm telling you, people, talk to the person. Talk to the person. It's difficult to tell somebody that you think that maybe their decision-making process isn't working well. Maybe it was never working well. That's a way that you can discern whether or not it's a cognitive issue or if it's just learned behavior. But if it is a cognitive decision and the person is struggling, wouldn't you throw them a life jacket? Hey, that's what I want to do. I want to throw them a life jacket and I want to support them. The question is, how do you want to deal with this? Everybody can make their own decision. Everybody can take it down the road you want. But I'm telling you, cloaked in secrecy, talking about people, talking around them, never works. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hey friends, I'm excited to tell you about Pine Grove Crossing Assisted Living and Memory Care in Parker, Colorado. They set the bar high for person-centered care. They're locally owned and they focus on exceeding their residents' expectations while providing excellent dining, housekeeping, and transportation services. Their care team with licensed nurses are available 16 hours per day, 7 days a week, to ensure clinical needs are addressed as soon as possible. Check them out at pinegrovecrossing.com or 303-996-8000 and see how care goes into everything they do.
Welcome back to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and their effects on the people we love.
Okay, so you're probably hearing in my voice today that I'm a little impassioned and possibly a little frustrated, and it is because I am one of you, Caregiver Nation. The way you feel, the frustration you have sometimes when you're trying to help in a situation that just makes you shake your head and go, oh my goodness, the universe has a sense of humor because they just keep playing these jokes on me. You know, it's just, I think the world that doesn't live in our Alzheimer's and our Parkinson's and our Lewy body world, they don't get it. They don't understand. They don't know what we go through. They don't realize. And sometimes it's frustrating when you've already been through this with somebody for 23 years and then it starts again, or you're worried about yourself, or you're trying to figure out how to care for someone in the best possible way. And we have these struggles at home. We have somebody not letting you help them with their checkbook. We have purchases that are being made that don't necessarily need to be made. You know, somebody might want to buy a brand new car when the fact of the matter is that in a year or two, they might not be driving at all due to their cognitive impairment. Them just not wanting to take a bath or a shower. The world at large that does not live in our world doesn't understand. They don't. They don't understand how frustrating it can be. And we don't want to be frustrated. We don't want to be frustrated. We want to be on top of our game. We want to be the best caregiver we can possibly be. Sometimes we can't get out of the house. The person's clinging to you because they have a world that's spinning out of control and they don't know how to stop it. And you're the closest thing to reality and practicality that they have. So if you leave the house, they're on their own. I know a zillion of you out there are struggling and feel like you're drowning sometimes in up to your neck in being a caregiver. And when do you find time for yourself? How do you press pause? How do you find a way to relax? It's hard sometimes when you're in the midst of all this and it's day to day to day to day to day, and then you stop and you go to the grocery store and you're still in caregiver mode and you're still on intense mode and you're trying to move on to some other part of your day, but it's still there with you because you can't leave it. You can't move on to something else. It's there. And if you're not there to keep everything rolling, to keep everything in motion, what's going to happen? Well, catastrophic things can happen. We know that, right? So then it becomes, oh my goodness, how do you reset your own meter, your own trigger meter, your own emotional, get me the hell off of this roller coaster mode? You know, it's today is just a day to get real. It is just a day to get real. I know how many of you out there live with these things. I get calls every day. Can you recommend a counselor for me and my wife? My loved one keeps disappearing in the car. I can't take the car keys away. Somebody just came to our house thinking that we're trying to sell our house because my husband's trying to sell it out from underneath me. You know, I have people that tell me that living with frontal temporal is such a nightmare that they literally drink all day long. And you know, these are real things. These are real things that people deal with and real emotions that they feel. And to the person that has this disease, oh my gosh, my heart goes out to all of you because you feel like you're a burden to your loved ones. You feel embarrassed when you've made a mistake. You feel sad. You feel lonely. You feel depressed. I don't want to make it sound like this is all about the caregiver. It's not. It, you know, the person themselves, I think, just wants to be understood. They're hanging on to reality with both hands and both feet, like they're trying to climb a mountain. You know, they don't want to lose their independence. They don't want to become less proficient in their life. And I mean, there's just a whole bag of emotions that come from both sides of the fence. You know what I mean? And how do we get through that? You know, we just hope tomorrow's going to be a better day. We hope that person's going to be happy. We do everything we can, especially in the early stages, to try to make sure that person has joy and that they still feel in control. And I hope that you all try some of the things that I try, which is to let that person feel completely supported and completely loved, and that you're not judging them and that you're not holding anything against them, and that you just want them to stay as viable and as active and productive as they possibly can in positive ways. But then the disease creeps in and screws everything up. And then we get back to fix-it mode, troubleshooting mode. How do we get out of this mess mode? And we're right back in it. It's like a vicious roller coaster for everybody. For everybody. There are no winners here. You know, some people might say there's losers here, but I don't see it that way. It's just life. But, oh my gosh, I really hope that we get to a place where somebody gets close to curing this disease. There's no cure right now. There's lots of research going on, right even here in Denver. Great stuff going on in Australia. Rock on, Australia. You guys are setting the bar. All around the world, there's great research going on. But truth be told, there are days that we just want to cry. We just want to cry. You just want to sit down and say, I'm holding on to my loved one with both hands. I'm holding on with everything I have. And I love them, and I just want them to be happy. And you know what? And maybe it's not the worst thing to just break down in tears, throw yourself on your bed, cry really hard for maybe an hour and a half till you get a headache, take some aspirin, get up and get back in the game. Do we have a choice? We don't have a choice. It's what we have to do. It's the nature of the beast. And to the world that makes jokes about memory loss and Alzheimer's, well, I'm going to float them the bird right here, if you can just imagine that, because I'm really sick of people making jokes about it. It's a difficult disease, and when you walk a mile in our shoes, it just makes you mad. It makes you mad. It makes you sad. Some days we're hopeless. Some days we're hopeful. And, you know, I guess just today's my day to really feel all of that. And so we're just having a real conversation here. So if you have any thoughts on this, you're welcome to email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com. And I would love to hear your thoughts. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back, and hopefully I'll be a little calmer.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Okay, so I think this is probably the most raw and real, straight from the heart show I've probably ever done since my very first one when I talked about my mom and her journey with this disease. You all know I have a brother with frontal temporal behavioral. That's been a journey and a half. And anybody that's living with that and you're listening to this right now, you're saying, oh my gosh, really? That's horrible. It is horrible. It's not a fun disease. A person changes their personality. They do things that you just wouldn't believe. They become usually sexually driven, spend money that they don't have, lack of impulse control, traffic lights mean nothing to them. I mean, it just goes on and on. I've got clients that are living with their loved one with FTD and just want to pull their hair out. I mean, they are literally driven to drink and everything else. And I get some of the most unbelievable raise the hair on the back of your neck emails from listeners who are living with FTD. And you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you. I totally get it. And I'm not even going to try to make it better for you today. My show is about resilience. I always want you to come overcome obstacles and adversity to find a positive outcome. But there are days when you just have to throw your hands up and say, this is BS. And let me off this ride. And if that's not enough, then you get another family member with something else. You know, I mean, it's just like, I just feel like as I sit in this studio today talking to you and I can't see any of your faces, I really can, though. I really can. I can see thousands of people if I close my eyes just going across my screen. I see you. I feel you. I hear you. I know what you're going through. And that's why I'm just kind of mad today. I'm just mad because I don't want another person that I love to go through this again. I just don't want another person that I love to go through this again. And there are days when I just have to look to the skies and say, if there is a God, why? Why? Why do people get this disease? Why aren't people protected from it? If you live your life right, you do right by other people, why do you get this disease? Why? You know, really, if you believe that when you open up your life to the universe and you're doing good, that the universe is supposed to give good stuff back to you, the only thing I can think of is that we're supposed to have just buckets full of compassion and love for that person. There's my resilience. There's my resilience. We understand that anything they're doing is not personal to us at all. It's just a disease talking. We look at it as, you know, we're just going to try to make their disease process as easy as we possibly can. We're going to protect them where we can. And oftentimes, you know, the family members that you have out there in the world don't always get the decisions that you make, or, you know, you never want to try to be pushy. You're not trying to take over the person's life or anything. But I guess the resilience, I'm going to have to dig deep. The resilience is about finding that compassion and love, and just it's a great feeling when you are talking to that person and they're in the midst of whatever crisis has been created by the disease process, and you're trying to help them, and you realize that they feel your love, that they feel your vibe, that they feel understood, they feel like you get them, you know? That's all I got. That's all I got today. I think that's I think that's got to be it. Because if we're looking for the big aha, or we're looking for some hand to come down and pull us up out of this and help us up out of this, it's not there. It's not there. If it is there, it's another person that has compassion and love that's willing to help you and bond together. And I am grateful that I have a family that you know, we'll dispatch and we'll all work together. And there are days that are worse than others, and there are days that are better than others. But through it all, at least with my family, we always say I love you when I get off the phone. And generally, most things can be, you know, solved with just an I love you, I guess. You know, I hope you all have something like that. I hope you have somebody to talk to. I hope you've got some support. And if you don't, you know, maybe it doesn't sound like it today, but you can definitely call or email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com and share how you feel. Share what's going on. I will try to lean down and give you that hand. I will try to pick you up and try to help you. You know, today is just a day when I usually have a lot of strategies. I have a lot of resources for you. And today, I'm just one of you. Today, I am just one of you. And I hope you know that. I hope you always know that. And the reason I have this show in the first place is because I do get it. And I want to make sure that I'm providing some help to you, even if it's a day when I'm just pissed off. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but I think I can. It's my show. I can say that, right? And, but, you know, hey, it'll get better. It'll get better. I'm going to get back in the game. I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm just going to roll with it. And tomorrow will be a better day. Today was a hard day. Tomorrow will be a better day, right? And to all you out there, our friends with diagnosis, we do love you. And even though we get frustrated and we get angry, we're not frustrated and angry at you. We're just angry that this disease has come upon you and caused impairment that we can't fix. We can't fix it. We can't make you better, and we get frustrated about that. And that's really all it is, okay? So there, I said it. It's been cathartic. I feel better. Crazy show for me, but I know zillions of you out there can relate, and I hope you keep tuning in, and I promise that the next show will be back to strategies and techniques and good resources, but every so often, we just got to get real, okay? So I love you all out there in Caregiver Nation. I love our friends with diagnosis, and really, I do have to say, I feel better. I got it off my chest, for whatever that's worth. Okay, folks. I'll see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. To learn more about her resources, services, classes, or to book speaking engagements, visit Jill's website at summitresiliencetraining.com. A new podcast drops every Tuesday, so join us as we learn more about dementias, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to find a positive outcome. Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz can be found on your favorite podcast provider. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Musical and technical support provided by Brian Hunter. See you next week.